Our present meditation is on the Lamb of God. There could not have been a more suitable gospel for closing the retreat than the one for today's Mass. In today's gospel, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to him, and so he said, "Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world." In every Mass, we say or sing the Agnus Dei, "Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us." Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. The first two invocations, "Have mercy on us," are a condition for the third, "Grant us peace." It is because we believe in the mercy of God for us sinners that we can have peace. Sinners cannot, I repeat, cannot be at peace. During the retreat, we have been meditating on the saints and sanctity. In other words, on holy persons and on holiness. Holiness, we saw, means, in essence, the possession of the grace of God. We are only as holy as we possess the grace of God. And we grow in holiness as we grow in divine grace. But another name for holiness is sinlessness. Unlike the Mother of God, all of us have been conceived in sin. And once we reach the age of reason, what a calm statement. Once we reach the age of reason, we reached the age of sin. Having a free will already from childhood, as mothers tell me, all the sinful tendencies, and even though we're in the grace of God, we still have, we call casually, concupiscence. We have both been conceived in sin, removed, as we believe, by the sacrament of baptism, but we have also sinned. That is why we need, how we need to remind ourselves that God became man in order to redeem us from sin. That is also why Saint John the Baptist identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, who takes away our sins. Whatever else we need, and the more we reflect on sanctity, the more we should remind ourselves that we have sinned. However, and not just this homily, not even just the retreat, our whole life, all the peace we can expect in this world is based on the confidence that God is merciful, that God became man in order to die for our sins and thus give us the hope we need that by his mercy our sins are forgiven and that we have the assurance of salvation and eternal happiness with the saints in heaven. In one word, holiness means happiness. However, and this we made every effort to emphasize, we know from the lives of the saints that God has done his part. God could not, what a statement, God could not have done more. But we must do our part. Like Christ, we must be docile. Docile as lambs to the mind of Christ, as Christ was docile to the mind of his Father. Again, like Christ, we must be docile as lambs to sacrifice our wills, as Christ sacrificed his human will to the will of his Father, we must sacrifice our wills. Christ had two wills, a divine and human one. We, how well we know, have only one, a human will. We are to sacrifice our wills to the will of God. Our homily, therefore, comes in two parts. Docility of mind and docility of will. In sacred scripture, the Lamb, way back in the Old Testament, and then in the New, is the perfect symbol of docility. I've said this so many times. My mother, born in Europe, was a shepherdess. Oh, John, she told me, how simple the sheep are. And lambs are the most simple. In fact, she said, John, they are dumb. You couldn't believe how stupid sheep, and the younger they are, the more stupid. All the mysteries of faith have only as much intelligibility as we understand what we call the analogy, with things we know on earth, tell us something about the mysteries that God has revealed. It is true, one reason, some would say the main reason, that God created animals was to provide us with an understanding of the mysteries of our faith. God created foxes and he created lambs. And Christ, remember, used both. Remember? Lambs are not foxy. They're not clever. They're not shrewd. They're not cunning. Oh, and least of all, they are not like serpents. Remember again. And teaching theology to my Jesuits, I told them, watch every comparison that we have in sacred scripture between the things that God created and the mysteries that God revealed. We have to become, what an easy verb to pronounce, what a hard one to practice. We must become like lambs. If we're going to become holy, we must be open to learning all that we can about God. Christ did not have to learn. Even as man, united as he was in his human nature, as we say hypostatically, making one hypostasis, one person, Christ did not have to learn, but he became a speechless child to teach us. He allowed himself to be taught. We're dealing with mystery. We must, even as man, Christ knew all that he needed to know in his human nature. Yet, he allowed himself to be taught through experience. We shall become only as holy as we learn all we can about God. Oh, how this needs to be underlined and circled. The foundation of sanctity is understanding our faith. Till there is a breath of life left in me, I will never tire telling people and recalling the parable in the 13th chapter of Matthew's Gospel of the seed falling on the wayside, produced no yield. One was hard, and the birds of the air picked up the seed. And then Christ, I know of no more important simile in the Gospels than this one. These are the people who, having received the Word of God, fail to understand it, and therefore the evil spirit comes along and steals what was sown in their hearts. I believe this is somewhere near the reason, the most fundamental reason, why the church today is going, as I keep repeating, to the most serious crisis of our 20 centuries of history. The minds of believers are now learning, you name it, everything from the composition, shall we call it, of the soil on the moon to the most intricate composition of the atom. Learn it. But, and this is what makes it so serious, the most dangerous thing is to learn a lot about the world and to be ignorant of God. What does this mean for us? They should tell us we must learn all we can about God. Spiritual reading is not a pious afterthought. Good, sound, orthodox reading is of the essence of the spiritual life and a precondition for sanctity. When we read an Augustine or a Thomas Aquinas or a Teresa of Avila, what are we reading? We are reading what the great minds of Christianity have been taught by the Holy Spirit, which, thank God, they can now share with us. This means spiritual thinking. Believe me, I'm not just using words. This means asking God to teach us. Hear it. The most important thing we need to learn from God is who He is. This means asking Christ, who identified Himself as the truth, and asking Him, incarnate truth, especially present on earth, really, physically, totally, corporeally, in the Blessed Sacrament. I'm sharing with you almost a half century of my own experience. Ask Him, Lord, tell me all you wish about yourself, so that knowing you, then I can love you, and loving you will be ready to serve you. The foundation of sanctity is an enlightened mind. that understands and grows in understanding what it believes. Over the years in talking this language, how many people kindly but revealingly, "Father, you spend so much time in the retreat explaining this and explaining that, as though we were stupid." Well, I watch my language. I could have said I never did. That's exactly why I explain, because you are stupid. Either we know, and that means understand, and spend our lives on earth learning more and more and more with our minds about God. And of course, about the God who became man. That's the main reason God became man. To redeem us. Oh, yes. But we shall be redeemed only if we believe with our minds. And the more our minds are developed in secular knowledge, the more dangerous for our faith. How I know. I've struggled with the faith of too many priests not to know. Either their faith grows in intelligibility, in meaning, in understanding, or how can I believe this? Me pronouncing words over a piece of bread and then genuflecting. Before what I now am supposed to believe is the living body of Jesus Christ. Secondly, nocivity of will. Christ is the Lamb of God, as we've just said, because of his docility. Christ did not have to learn, but he became like a child, a speechless babe, to teach us, we who need to learn, to have a mind open. And of course, this means effort on our part to keep learning and learning and learning. Well, that's only part one. Christ is the Lamb of God, especially because he chose to sacrifice his life by his death on the cross. All through his mortal life, Christ sacrificed his will to the will of his Father. And Christ's sacrifice, his docility of will, began the moment he was conceived in Mary's womb. Talk about docility. Then, being carried by his mother for 9 months, born in a stable or a cave, or combine the two, in a stable cave. He, the omniscient God for 30 years, was so obviously human that his fellow Nazarenes, remember, when he spoke in their synagogue, read Isaiah, mother Messiah, and then said, putting down the scroll, my friends, my fellow Nazarenes, what I've just read is being fulfilled before your eyes. What's he saying? Did you hear him? You know what the men did? They rushed, picked him up, and except his time had not yet come, there would not have been a public ministry of Christ. And even humbly, docilely allowed himself to be, I won't say dragged, because Christ, remember, was using his wheel willingly, the top of the hill, and then, my friends, that's enough. Then, his agony in the garden. There is nowhere in sacred scripture, indeed in divine revelation, in which the docility of Christ's human will, talk about docility in a lamb. Nothing is more revealing of Christ's docility of will than in his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Whereas we know how well we should know, Christ sweating blood. If it be possible, let this chalice pass from me, but not my human will, but your divine will be done. That's why we have a human will, to sacrifice our wills to the will of God. We shall become holy. We shall become holy, as our faith tells us, in the measure that we receive the grace of God. But this grace must be cooperated with. And that means opus, which means work. And opus, in Latin, unlike labor, both mean work. In English, our poor, benighted English language. Opus means assigned work. We must be ready. We must be prompt. In other words, we must be docile in sacrificing our wills to the will of God. I know I must have given you this definition, not mine, but the church's, of sacrifice. Sacrifice is the surrender of something precious to God. It means surrender, giving up, and giving in. Oh, how demanding that can be. Sacrifice means there are precious things in our life. You name it. Cool, balmy weather outside. Or a fine, luscious meal. Or a high compliment. Oh, how we lick our lips. How sweet that can be. But is there anything more precious than our wills? Nothing. There is nothing, therefore, more precious that we are called upon to surrender than our wills. And that is why Christ, in one lesson after another, keeps insisting, parable after parable, to teach us all kinds of make-believe holiness. In fact, that's a good definition of Pharisaism. Make-believe holiness. Oh, the piety. Oh, how prayerful. You touch that pious person's will. That is what the Lamb of God really means. As we've said for 8 days, Jesus Christ is not just a saint. He's not just even the saint. He is the incarnate, all-holy God who became man to teach us the core, which means the heart of holiness is. It is docility of mind and docility of will. And between the two, the more important is the will. Because even docility of mind depends on docility of will. That is why St. Ignatius closes the spiritual exercises by telling us to, well, not just say the prayer, which in Latin is called suscipe, but to live it. I trust you all know it by heart. I do, I assure you, but I normally say it in Latin. Receive, O Lord, all my liberty. And what follows is just. A clarification of that first surrender. Take my memory, my understanding, and my entire will. Whatsoever I have or hold, you have given me. I give it all back to you and surrender it wholly to be governed by your will. Grace, 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 and I am rich enough and ask for nothing more. But I repeat, everything is locked up in that first sentence. Receive, O Lord, all my liberty, my free will. That's what holiness is all about. Lord Jesus, you have assumed a human will to teach us how we are to use our will by surrendering it, the most precious gift you have given us, to your divine will, by following in your footsteps, dear Jesus, your bloody footsteps, even to die with you and for you, you on your cross, we on ours, because, dear Jesus, we love you, our God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.